Oh, this girl goes mad on a mind map. You know, she loves it.
You know, get that notebook out for me.
Right. Welcome back to Navigating Life podcast. And today on the podcast, my mum is making her first appearance. And actually, this, before we start anything, this is very different to anything she's probably done before in terms of... Well, no, this isn't an interview, but it's very different to what she would do in terms of her work life, because she does a lot of interviews, podcasts, but it's all very... I don't really know. What would you class it as?
Formal and structured.
Yeah, structured. So she wanted to get the notebook out earlier and say, okay, Amber, what are we doing? And I was like... Liz.
Only so I could prepare, because I like being prepared for everything or researched. Yeah. So this is kind of very, very different.
Conversation. Yeah, it's just, this isn't much different. It's just like you and me normally chatting. So anyways, back to the podcast. Our topic of discussion is going to be, is my mum having a midlife crisis? Now, obviously, you know that the podcast is about all things kind of like the kind of milestones you go through in life. But majority of the podcasts I've done are for probably like milestones that you've been through quite a while ago. And
come on.
So maybe when you were younger and whatnot. So first series was like my first period, blah, 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 all of those types. And I thought it might be fun to talk about a topic that's maybe more relevant to you. Maybe you've kind of heard people say it, or your friends have been through it. And also, I've actually been asked, like people have asked me about you, is my mum having a midlife crisis? Let's just start off. Do you think you're having a midlife crisis?
I think you've got to think about how you define midlife crisis. You know, I don't see it as a crisis at all. I think it's more like a midlife realization of what's important to you in your life and how you want to use your time positively and in a way that makes you feel fulfilled. And so I think that makes you start thinking about the decisions that you make around how you want to spend your life, how you want to live, who you want to spend time with.
Because I always think, what actually is a midlife crisis, and why do you suddenly get to 40 and you're in a midlife crisis? Is it to do with the menopause?
Is it hormones? Necessarily, possibly, I don't know. I think there's a variety of reasons. I think sometimes...
Do you suddenly want to go and get your nipple pierced?
Well, I don't. Some people might.
I went and saw my friend get their nipple pierced, and mine hurt watching her. I don't know how they did it. But
no, I think that probably people get to midlife and lots of things change. You know, perhaps children go to university.
Mm-hmm. Or leave home. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, people might have a little bit more time on their hands. Or you get to a point career-wise where, you know, maybe...
Just ain't feeling it anymore.
Well, no, maybe it's just, you know, you're a bit more comfortable. So actually you've got more choices financially around, do you want to travel or do you want to go on more extended holidays? And I also think that you just get to a point where you're a bit more probably aware of your own mortality and how long you've got left, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And you just really start thinking more carefully around what you want to do each day, or what you want to do this year, or what you want to, how you want to spend your time.
Mm. And would you say more in terms of like male and female? I feel like I hear a lot more about females having midlife crises. I was told that before. I always say crises. And earlier when we was doing a mock plan, because my mum likes to do that, she was, Amber, no, it's what is it?
Crises.
So I've learned something today. It's not crises. I bet a lot of you think it's crises.
No. So you thinking, is there a difference between men and women?
Yeah.
I think it's totally dependent on the individual. You know, you've got the classic stereotypical idea that's sort of pumped by, you know, the press or online, you know, about the man that suddenly goes out and buys a motorbike at 45.
Do you know what?
The red sports car.
Yeah, Porsche. There was a quiz and it was like, am I having a midlife crisis? And you go down and it's like, have you got a Porsche? Yes. Yeah. Have you got have you suddenly got a younger girlfriend? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you suddenly got a new tattoo? Yes. And then apparently
that's how you decide.
That's your typical midlife crisis kind of
guide to.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you could have the same kind of criteria for women as well. You know, have you suddenly either got divorced? You know, have you suddenly gone on a divorce diet and suddenly lost
weight?
Girls'
holiday. Are you suddenly
Ibiza? Yes, 2020
in Ibiza.
Exactly. You know,
with the t-shirts, living in Ibiza or like
living my best life.
Yeah, across the boobs, and suddenly your top gets a little bit lower and the cleavage comes out again.
Exactly. But you know, so again, you know, similar kinds of things. But I think those kind of knee-jerk kind of reactions are probably rooted in a sense of freedom or grabbing hold of life while you can, or being able to perhaps kick against, maybe it was a controlling relationship or where people couldn't do that kind of thing, or maybe because they got married young, they had responsibility when they were very young, and they never had in their 20s the time to maybe go and do that.
Yeah,
and I think that's something to do with it too.
And like also now, like it's very common for people my age, 23, for people to go travelling, backpacking, and sometimes, I don't know, was it as common when you was younger?
No, absolutely not. But I mean, that's, Amber, you've got to remember, I mean, I'm 53, you know, I mean, there wasn't the internet when I was kind of 23. No, but you know, when I was 23, you know, well, there was probably the internet, I just probably didn't really know
that
much
about it. Didn't
you have
to log on? Was it like check in or something?
Dial-up,
was that
it? ADSL, yeah. But there was no idea of like a smartphone where you could sort of, as you're waiting, you know, for your train to come, suddenly book a 3-week holiday in Cuba. You just couldn't do that. And so all of a sudden, I think with technology we've got today, the world's become a very much smaller place, and everything is so much easier. And that also opens up so many opportunities to go off travelling and still work if you want to. So to integrate a life that suits you in terms of your interests and what you want to do now, but you can still actually have an income. Because I was in Indonesia at the beginning of the year, and I was lucky. I had spent a few days in Bali and met. I went on an electric bike ride all around there.
She's obsessed with these electric bikes.
It's so easy.
It's a new way of cycling. You need an electric bike. I was like, maybe just use your legs yourself.
No, but I was on this tour and got chatting to the people with me, and there was a girl there who was literally working her way around the world, and she was in her 20s. And
so she's in her 20s.
She was in her 20s. Okay. She had had an accountancy role, and when she was going to leave, she was from South America originally. When she was going to leave to go on tour, the company were devastated and said, no, we'll make this work for you. So again, companies have to be more flexible. And at night time, wherever she was, it depended on the time zone, she could log in and do a few hours work and then move on to the next place she wanted to visit.
And also, was she on her own as well?
Oh yeah.
That's great to be like independent woman living your best life. But that's like you know, you're very like that. You just will go off on your own. You don't need like people you to...
I know, but I also think that having had that element in my work's probably given me the confidence and the skills and the know-how about how to do that. You know, because I mean, I do that a lot with work. So actually, traveling, you know, on my own for a holiday or to go and visit somewhere because I want to. That's.
And what do you think it's like? Obviously, so you're a solo woman. So what do you think the difference is in terms of like if you're in a relationship, if you've been married for a long time, in terms of like, do you think? It's less likely for people to talk about maybe having this midlife crisis or trying to like break free if they're in a relationship than someone on their own. Is it more likely for someone on their own to be like, I'm going traveling for 6 months?
I went to a uni reunion lunch last year, and it was really nice because I reconnected with a couple that actually met at uni and have got married and both had careers and had children who are now away, but they've both just retired very early actually, and they've just spent I think a couple of months in China.
Oh, I want to go to China.
And, well, not at the moment.
No, not at the moment, no.
But they, and it just really struck me how lovely that they're both so much on the same page that they've both worked towards this and have got this shared vision of how their retirement might look. And so I think it comes back totally to the kind of relationship that you've developed over the years. You know, that in my experience, that's very rare. I know far more people who actually... feel trapped or actually are just happier single, you know. So it's about maybe the people that you meet or you choose to get involved with, I think.
And also I think if someone is on their own or have been on their own for a long time, they might get to a certain age and think, I'm actually a bit scared. Well, not, well they might be scared to enter the later life on their own. So they whack up their iPhone, get themselves a little Tinder.
No, I agree. I think again, that can be to do, though, with the kind of codependency in a relationship around roles and... which can be positive and negative. I agree. I know, because people say
got something on my tongue.
Yeah.
a little bit of cat hair.
Probably.
That's what I get when I come home. Where I live in London, I don't have a cat, and I'm extremely allergic, so do you want to check your cage?
Yeah, just explain.
Oh, so we've got my great aunt. Oh, you would have met her on the podcast before. And we're making her a lemon drizzle. But anyways, back to this cat hair. So... basically, when I come back, I'm super allergic to the cat, and as soon as I step in the door, my lips swell up, so it looks like I've had filler, and my eyes swell up like I'm... probably looks like I'm high. It really does. It's awful. But anyways, so what was we talking about, Liz?
We were talking around relationships. And people feeling that it's very brave to go and travel, which I do find that's kind of... when people say it kind of makes me think.
Everyone says to me, "Oh, your mum's so brave going on her own, going away, working, or going to these other countries." Does she not get? Do you not think she'd like a boyfriend? You know, why do you need a boyfriend if you knew? I mean, she's got four dogs, for goodness sake. She doesn't need a boyfriend.
Yeah, I know. I think that's about a mindset thing, though. Mm. You know, I think people think that maybe you're not actually going to talk to anybody the whole time you're away. And so actually you might be lonely. I think there's that thing. Or actually, what if something goes wrong? What would you do? Well, actually, you know, but that...
I mean, at 53, you can kind of...
you know, but also it's about being kind of confident to talk to other people. It's about, you know, having your strategies in place for help. So, but equally, it's all a matter of... It's all a matter of perspective as well. And I was in the supermarket recently and I don't know, I think I had to go off somewhere like to Canterbury or somewhere and the cashier kind of stopped actually swiping my stuff and looked at me and she said, "Canterbury," she said, "you know, you're going to drive all the way to Canterbury."
What?
Oh, she said, "I would never do that." And I just thought, that's incredible, actually. That's incredibly sad. It's incredibly...
I'm hoping she does have a midlife crisis and realises...
I really hope that she goes to Ibiza with her mates at 60.
One day she actually makes it to Canterbury on her own. That would even be an achievement.
Even if it's on the bus, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all relative, isn't it? You know, and maybe it's not right for everyone. So at the end of the day, do what suits you. Do what you want to do in your life.
Don't
conform to I think stereotypical ideas of what's expected. I think that's what restrict people.
I think though, like I love, and I think I get it from you, I love doing things on my own. So I'm a big castle goer. And I love going to castles on my own and just walking around, like big Tudor fan. So anything like that, I always do on my own because not many people my age like to do that, but I just like going on my own. But I know that to be honest, I don't really talk to anyone. I like just going on my own. But when I go on holiday, and it's usually with Danny, me and Danny go together, and we don't really socialise with anyone. We socialise with each other. And sometimes it kind of stops communication when you're with someone. So you don't really make an effort to talk to someone because
I'd
you're just
with
happy together, which we are. We just have so much fun. So we just think, unless someone comes over to us, we're not rude. And
I wonder how much is also partly character related as well, though, you know, because when you were little, you always preferred to go off and play in quite a solitary way. You used to play on your own quite a lot and you were really happy with that. And it was actually sometimes... with reluctance that you'd have friends around.
Even, do you know what? This is even really quite funny. Even when I was on my own when I was younger, I'd have people concerned going, "Are you sure you don't want to play with anyone else? Are you sure you don't want to be, you know, because
so
it was the
how
norm.
Much is it? How much is it nature or natural? Mm. I don't know.
Because people want you to play, be in a group, otherwise they think there's something wrong. Yeah. But actually, no, I just like my own company instead of everyone else because... I like to do what I want to do.
There's a lot of people, though, who do find it very hard to be on their own, whether it's at home, in their flat, or you know, and I think that's, I personally think that's really sad. I think you've got to be really, you've got to be happy with who you are and happy yeah. with spending time on your own and with your own company. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about a story of what happened to me. So the other day I was at the flat on my own. So I have my brother and my boyfriend there, but they was both out. And it was like 2 a.m. and I was just awake for some reason. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I'm going to make myself a mixtape. So it was 2 a.m. I got this microphone out. And I was literally, I was rapping to Eminem at like 2 a.m, having a great time, realised that I hadn't actually recorded myself because I went to listen back at how good I was. And then I realised I hadn't recorded myself. So then I came back, re-recorded it all. And I mean, I had a great time. I did. And that's probably why I haven't got much battery now, because I was up for hours doing a mixtape for myself. Yeah. One of the things I was looking at when I was doing a bit of research was about how us as a society have actually kind of made this midlife crisis such a big thing. Mm. Where did it actually come from, and is it a real thing, or have we kind of made this up?
I'm not sure, really. I suppose you could argue that from both sides. Mm. I think, I don't know, really. That's the honest answer.
I was actually told, and I'm not even middle age. I'm early 20s, I was told I have middle-aged crowding in my lower teeth, so I might have an early midlife crisis if it's going that way. Yeah. Well, one thing I did want to talk to you about, because it's a massive step in your life, which I'm very happy about, but I know a lot of people are a bit, I don't know, I think you have mixed reviews on this next thing I'm going to talk about.
But this is the thing that's triggered the question.
Oh, yeah.
Am I having a midlife crisis?
Yeah, this is why people say to me, is your mum having a midlife crisis? Because she's moving to France. It's not a big thing, is it? And everyone's like, she's leaving you. She's leaving everyone. She's moving away. We're never going to see her again.
The other question is, what are you going to do?
Can she speak French?
If you don't like it there.
Yeah.
You
know, like people will be... I think, do you know what? If you had a husband and you moved to France, no one would bat an eyelid, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Because they'll think, oh, it's okay, she's got someone with her. But people have been saying to me about this, oh, are you sure she's making the right decision? And you know, and how do you feel about that, Amber? I mean, to be honest, I live in London, you live here. Mm. We're on the phone all the time. So, have you thought about the bill, the phone bill?
Well, WhatsApp, online.
Yeah, we use WhatsApp.
It's like, you know, no.
So I was thinking we're on the phone a lot, so I don't want my phone bill going up.
Yeah, it'd be fine. It's
we'll just FaceTime.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the fact that you're going to France, like on your own, I mean, you're not on your own, you've got
four dogs,
and a tortoise, and a cat. So you're not really going on your own, but people think it's such a bold move. And I don't know, I've had a lot of people say, I think it's because they're saying it to me, they're saying, how do you feel about that? Are you upset that she's kind of going? But I'm not, because I mean, hashtag free holiday. You know, it's not a bad thing. And also, anything you want to do, I support you anyway. So I just think, if that's what makes you happy, then... that's what makes me happy. So I thought it'd be quite nice to see what triggered this midlife crisis.
Or do you mean what triggered this move?
Yes.
Because it's not, I think actually it's a whole new chapter. And I do think that midlife crisis is a phrase, for me, it almost sounds like she's going through that funny phase. It isn't a funny phase. This is actually a really exciting new chapter. But it's not just happened overnight. Mm. And I think it's actually, happened over the last few years, this kind of feeling that I need, a feeling for change, a need for change, a need to take stock of my life, mm-hmm. having spent years supporting everybody. And also really working hard and just really reevaluating the balance in my life. And also really thinking, if I want to see change, I've got to make it happen. And so I've had to plan to get to this point.
Mm.
And that's involved selling my house, which involved getting it ready for sale, which involved masses of throwing out and tip runs and skips and all of that kind of thing. And it involved, managing people's feelings.
I think that's
been an ongoing big thing.
Yeah, because you play a big part in a caring role for, so Anton, who you would have met. I don't know why I shout when I say Anton. And obviously Gan, who's your mum, my nan or grandmother. And it's a way of actually, you can still have a caring role, but not live in their pockets all the time. Because like you say, there's, you know, actually for you to get to back to England, you're not far. It's not, you're not far away. You could drive it. Absolutely. I mean, I won't be driving it because I just can't deal with that other side of the road business. But
no, but you're, you know, not far away. That's the thing. And also, you know, now Auntie's in a nursing home, which also makes a difference. And, you know, I could be away.
Auntie's Anton, yeah, just so to clarify.
I mean, I could be away with work. I mean, I'm abroad the next 2 months of my work. So actually, it doesn't really matter where I live. I can still go and do that. And and when I'm away working, I'm still able to support them, in inverted commas. You know, but through ringing and all the rest of it.
Oh, so, FaceTime. Anton and Gan are well up to date with the old.
But yeah, so iPad. it was that kind of realization. I don't want my life to be the same as this because I think that I'm too stressed. I'm just too thinly stretched to try and do too many things. And so that was really one of the big triggers for me.
And also, it's funny because for years now with work, I mean, it's wild how much you have to travel. You go, you stretch over all of England, and then you go abroad to work. Oh, I'm so sorry. I just had a bit of wind. So sorry. You travel everywhere, and I mean, you're all over the world from, like, what's far away? You know, like, you go to, like, Asia. You go there. So majority of the time, you're traveling on your own anyways. And you had to care for people, and you still kept in contact with people. So there's not much difference.
No, I just think it's people getting their heads around it. And I think as well, when you tell people, the thing I've realised, not just with this, but with lots of things, people imagine it from their own point of view. Yeah. So the people who are most horrified are perhaps the people who might find going to Canterbury a problem. So all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with her? And so it's always looking at the negatives first. It's not the what an exciting thing to do, or how lovely living in a different country for a while, or whatever. And I've really noticed that in terms of my friends' reactions. So my friends who are more enlightened in a way, or who are more confident about doing that kind of thing themselves, or they see the positives. The people for whom it would scare the life out of are the ones who will react.
Probably get,
that
oh,
kind
that's
of,
nice.
Oh, no, they don't even say that. They go, oh. And you can see their heads, you know, that reflecting on, what nightmare would that be, you know. So or people will say to me, so do you know anybody? Have you got lots of friends over there?
No. No, I don't know anyone. I'm actually going for a house that's right in the middle of just nowhere. Because I like to be on my own.
I mean, it makes me sound incredibly antisocial. I'm not. But I do think it's also a reaction because in work, I'm like dealing with people all the time. So I think for me, it's quite therapeutic to have that downtime.
But you're good at planning in planning social events. Stuff. And even, like, you're like a group goer now. Like, you're, like, part of things, which is really nice. And that, and you push yourself. I mean, she goes to play readings and all sorts, which, like, it's so nice. And it's so far away from, I don't know, you talk and stuff in work. So, but it's nice to do something
really
different. It's
nice to do different things,
She paints furniture as well. I mean,
it's going to be a great project, actually.
Yeah, the whole
house thing. And there's, although it's you know, it's kind of livable and everything else, and it's lovely. There's lots of opportunity to really put my stamp on it. So I'm looking forward to that.
So I just wanted to know, so in terms of, so, well, I know you're not leaving people behind, but how did you feel about me when you decided to move? Did you think, did you worry about me? Or do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I think the thing is, though, now, where I'm living now on the coast, for you to drive down here,
It takes ages.
I mean, it takes like 2 hours, really, plus. And when you think about it, you could jump on the train in St Pancras and be in Paris in under 2 hours, and I could meet you there
in
just over
Paris.
2 hours. And so actually...
That's nice.
You know, it makes you realise, you know, it's not that far
I like Paris as well. We could have a crave. You know, was craving that today.
Or you just jump on the flight, it's only an hour and a half. And So I just kind of think it's about recognising where we are now. It's not as if maybe it would be slightly different if you lived around the corner. So you'd been to uni, you'd come back and you lived around the corner, and then all of a sudden that perhaps would be more difficult because it would be. Yeah. Whereas you've already moved away.
Yeah, and I think it's nice. So when I pop down now, I do like on the weekends, I do like acting jobs, and I kind of combine it all, seeing you doing that, seeing Anton again. But actually, when I go to France, I'll be spending a lot more quality time with you because it'll be a chunk of time.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing like exploring or swimming or, you know, all like more thing activity wise together instead of just like I'll drop in and then I need to pop out because I need to go and do that job. And then
I also think, though, back to the point about you, it was really important to me that you were involved all the way through. So even down to looking at, I mean, because I did masses of research, and I've sifted and sorted thousands of houses, and you know, we got to the point where we'd got the checklist and then printed off like, you know, 12 long listed houses, and then Amber, I want you to be involved in which ones.
I go,
and I really, that was really important to me to have an objective perspective as well. And so, you know, on my trip as well in summer when it was my birthday, you know, I was really pleased that you came with me. You've been on a few of the viewing trips. And that was a really nice gauge of, is this the right kind of place?
Yeah, because also when you go to houses, I found this actually, you'll go in and go, oh, I love it. And you're quite quick to be like, yep, I can see that. I mean, there are a few issues, but we can work around it. And I'm like, no. No, you don't love it. You don't need all these issues. There's somewhere better for you, you know. There's somewhere that's more suited. But because I think you were so in love with the whole idea, you just wanted to be there now. So I think it was quite good for me to like look at these properties and be like,
pull her back.
What are you thinking? Like, this isn't, there's a big, it's like on a cliff edge, the house, and you think you can live on a cliff edge with animals? No. And you're like, oh, we can put a fence up. We can put a gate up down the side. And I'm like, Liz, look, let's just reevaluate and pick another house to look at. You don't need to start, you know.
That was just being enthusiastic.
You were a bit too enthusiastic.
Yeah.
I like being involved. I have to admit, though, although I'm involved, I've not seen the house you're going
to. You haven't, no. And that's going to be really interesting.
But in the pictures, it's the one I really love.
Yeah.
But so it's going to be a shock for me going over. I know, because I haven't got a... I mean, pictures are different to what
but I'm committed, I'm, you know, to buying it now, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm super excited for it, and I don't see it as a midlife crisis. I see it as, I don't even know what I see it. I just think it's a great new chapter to your life that I know you're so excited for, and I'm just... can't wait to get in that swimming pool.
And I think though that, you know, if it's something, I mean, it's, as I say, it's not something that's just a random rash decision overnight.
No, you've been thinking about this.
And I've had to really work towards it, and also make decisions around, you know, I've got three little Shetland ponies that aren't coming with me because, you know, they wouldn't cope with the trip.
We saved them. We rescued them.
And so the Shetlands live with us at home for... nearly 17
years.
One of them was born there, so they were rescued, and they were a bit feral still, but
still feral, Liz. They're still feral.
But you know, but they've had a lovely life, and
where they've gone, even down to that, the person who's taken them on, like, you've even thought, you know, if it wasn't for her, I don't know what you would have had to got them to France somehow, because you wouldn't have let them go to anyone.
Absolutely not, no. Oh, so they're in a beautiful field, and I got them a shelter, and they're being really spoiled and loved.
More spoiled than I think.
Oh gosh, they're having a better amount of attention than they ever got. Yeah, like, they're being really loved, and they're doing really well. So but even that in itself took a while to get sorted.
Yeah,
and so there've been lots of layers of getting ready. In terms of dealing with other people or responsibilities and things. And so it's, as I say, it's taken time. But I mean, and there's still going to be things that I've probably not even thought about yet. But that's all part of this. A friend said to me that, and this is a message from her dad, actually, he said to her, when you're doing things, enjoy the process. And I never quite understood that properly until I really, really thought about this process because it really has been one over a few years. And it's lovely to know that it's all building towards this lovely end goal. I've really enjoyed, you know, the kind of the planning stage or the...
oh, this girl goes mad on a mind map. Oh, you know, she loves it.
You know, get that notebook out for me. You know,
you know, no, let me say about the notebook.
The lists are endless. Oh. The you know, looking at colours that I'm going to use, looking at the furniture, getting in that studio and painting thing. You know, I can't wait for all that. So for me, all of those layers have been... I've loved that. So I really hope I do enjoy it as much as I think I'm going to.
Imagine if you get there and you go, like, everyone was right. It's a midlife crisis. I hated it.
No, not at all. And I really am looking forward to it happening.
So just a quick question to round us off. Do you think at all you've had a midlife crisis?
I just think that in your life you continue to evolve. And I just think that that's all of these things that happen to you all inform or should do what you do next. And so I think that for me to be at this point doing what I'm doing now, I've needed all the experience that I've had in life to get me to this point where, I'm confident to travel. I'm confident to go to move to a country where my French isn't brilliant, but it's okay.
Working process.
Absolutely, but it will get better.
It's the process. Enjoy the process.
It's the process, exactly. So for me... I don't really think so. I certainly don't see it as a crisis at all. Mm. But for some people, I don't know. Yeah maybe.
And I think it is, just to put it out there, everyone deals with things differently. Mm. Some people may not even think go through their life at all and think they're having a midlife crisis. Some people might hit their 40s and think, oh God, it's coming. This is my time.
When I look back though, Amber, when I split up with your dad, I think that was my kind of, it wasn't a crisis, it was just a let loose, and I kind of, I did the whole party thing then, you know, so.
Oh, good girl.
You know, so.
I think he did as well. I think he parties through the relationship.
I think, but you know, I think that was the weight loss, that was the kind of, you know, the going out all the time, that was a reaction in that kind of way. Mm. Whereas maybe because I'm a bit more mature now, I'm dealing with, you know, I don't know, this is more on my terms.
I don't know, you might have a few gym parties over there.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, I just want to say thank you for being a lovely guest on the show.
Thank you
for letting loose, getting away from that notebook and not planning what we was going to say. So, I hope you've enjoyed it. It's a bit different for you, but maybe we'll record a...
Catch up on how it's going in 6 months' time.
No, I was about to say maybe we could record a music track on these next...